You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
John 5, turn there with me, if you will. I want to go over a few scriptures. I know I'm notorious for reviewing, and I wouldn't want to disappoint you. But I have a few scriptures I want to go over, and we've been teaching along these lines for a few weeks. We start out teaching on, of course, Jesus, you know, being the express image of God's person, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That when you get to Jesus, you have the Word made flesh. I mean, there's no question about what God's about, what He's doing, what He would say, what He would do when you see Jesus. A lot of confusion in the earth today, a lot of confusion even in the church, in many churches, about what is God, what is not God, what is God doing, what is He not doing, and you know, can you know God? Can you understand His will? Well, I say that we can understand His will because the Bible is His will. And Ephesians 5:17 says, "Be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." So God wants us to understand His will. And obviously, when He says, "My ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts," in Isaiah 55, He's not talking to everybody in general. He's talking to wicked and unrighteous people. He says, "Let the wicked forsake his ways. Let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. Let them return to me, and I will abundantly pardon, for my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts not your thoughts." Speaking to the wicked and the unrighteous. And then he explains what his thoughts are, that and his ways are. They're like the rain that comes down from heaven and waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth, it shall not return to me void. It'll accomplish that which I please, and it'll prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. He goes on and says, "And you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth before you into singing, and the trees of the field will clap their hands." Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. "Instead of the thorn shall come up the myrtle tree." Praise God. God's ways are good. God's ways and His thoughts are thoughts of increase, thoughts of blessing, thoughts like rain, bringing increase and making fruitfulness. God's thoughts and ways are not unrighteous. And they're not wicked. They're not selfish. They don't steal. They don't take away. They're about blessing others and helping others. So far from saying we can't know His ways or thoughts, Isaiah 55 is telling us what His thoughts and ways are. Yeah. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Yeah. So we have Jesus. Jesus comes along and He really clears up the picture. I mean, we had a little bit of muddy water here going on before Jesus hit the earth. The prophets did the best they could. They prophesied as they were moved by the Spirit. But they just had bits and pieces, just pictures and pieces to the puzzle. And when Jesus comes along, He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He's not a piece or He is the whole puzzle. He's not a word about God. He is the Word of God. He didn't bring us a message. He is the message. He didn't say, "I have a truth. I bring a truth." He said, "I am the truth. I am the way. I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." So in Jesus, we have summed up the whole picture. And often, you know, I refer it to like a map. If you were reading a map and there's all these little symbols all over the map, you have to go down to the corner where there's a legend. They call it the legend of the map. And it tells you what those symbols are. "Oh, that's a railroad track. Oh, yeah, there's a fishing hole." I wish, Dick, that'd be it. But or "that's an international highway," or something. You know what I'm saying? They've got a legend, and you interpret the map through the legend. Well, God gave us Jesus to interpret the Bible. And that's how we understand the Bible, see? And that's the point we've been making here for a few weeks on Sunday morning, is that often our understanding of God is skewed, and we often have Scripture. Now, this is God's Word from Genesis to Revelation. I believe that. But there is a key to understanding this Scripture. And sometimes we get things out of context. We can actually quote Scripture and have it out of context. That actually can happen. In fact, the devil quotes Scripture. He quoted it to Jesus when He tempted Him in Matthew 4 and in Luke 4. So you can get it a little skewed, a little tainted, and that's why we have so many different churches. Come on, I mean, you know, a lot of people love God in a lot of different churches, but we disagree on this point or that point or that point. Well, how do we clear up the inconsistencies? I believe you clear it up in Jesus. That you have to filter the Scripture through Jesus. Follow Him in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Follow Him after He rose from the dead, moved amongst the disciples in the book of Acts. And, of course, you have the writings of Paul where he talks about Jesus and how in Him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and understanding. Yes. You know, because you can't just grab Scripture, any Scripture, and just stand on it. Now, if it's something to do with your covenant, where you live after the resurrection of Jesus, fine. But there are scriptures about how to atone for your sins. There are scriptures that if you bring turtle doves and goats and lambs and slay their blood. And that, see, there are scriptures that say that, but that's the old covenant.
Yeah.
Are you out there?
Yeah.
So just to say I have a scripture, well, let's get the context of it. Often we'll hear scriptures at funerals sometimes. We'll hear what Job said. And Job wasn't even right about what he said in many cases. He contradicted Jesus. I've heard this over and over at funerals. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And that's in the Bible. Job did say that. But Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. Now, I don't think that's not a toss-up here. We've got to go with Jesus on this one. Wouldn't you think? I mean, Job was a good old guy. He loved Peter, Paul, Mary, love them all. But Jesus died for our sin. Jesus is God. He's Emmanuel, God with us. He is, according to John 1st chapter, the Word made flesh dwelling among us. He's the consummation of the Word. We're a walking, talking God. We see Him in Jesus. As He walks the shores of Galilee, the streets of Capernaum, raises the dead, casts out devils, stops storms and heals the sick, gives to the poor, forgives sinners. Hallelujah. We see God's heart. Under the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, the law of Moses, thank God for Moses, thank God for the law, but the law was a moral code, well, not a moral code. The law actually showed us the consequences of sin and the penalties of sin, but it really didn't show us the character or the nature of God. There was no law that could give us eternal life. You couldn't keep a law and go to heaven by keeping a law. Paul said if there had been a law which would have given eternal life, surely righteousness, eternal life, would have come by the law. But there wasn't one. Wasn't one. What the law did was condemn us and showed us we were all lost. If the law did anything, it pointed us to a Savior. We need a Savior. What the law did was show us we needed help. We were never, ever going to get there on our own. That's what the law did. The law condemned. It's called the ministry of condemnation. That's what Paul called it. Well, Jesus comes along and He convicts and forgives and restores. There's a difference between condemnation and conviction. I get convicted when I read about Jesus. I get convicted when I go through the Scripture and I see what Jesus did and what He wants me to do. But I don't get condemned. Conviction tells me I need to do better. I can do better. In the name of Jesus, I'm forgiven. I can get back on my feet. I can make it. Condemnation, there is no hope.
Yeah.
You're just condemned. Are you with me? And if you're not careful, as Christians, we can live our lives condemning others. Mm-hmm. Often in the pulpit, we hear condemnation.
Yeah.
What we ought to hear is conviction. Right. I'll give you an example. Homosexuality is a sin, but there's hope for a homosexual. If they repent and get right with God, God will forgive them. I believe abortion is murder. Stay with me. But I believe anyone who has committed abortion can be forgiven. And God can restore them. See, there's conviction which gives you hope. If you repent, there's hope. You can be restored. Jesus is about restoring people. He's not about condemning people. He's about getting people back on their feet again. Are you out there? We should be the same way. We don't hate people. We hate sin. I hate what it does to people. But we don't hate people. Are you out there?
Yeah.
See, the law, bad stuff, I'm telling you. You want to go back and read it sometime. Thank God you're under this covenant.
Yeah.
Hey, you curse your mom, we take you out, we stone you.
Yeah.
It's in the law. It's in the Bible. That's under the old, that's the law.
Yeah.
Okay? It does say to do that. And lots of other things, too. Homosexual, you stone them. Says that right there in the Bible. Old covenant. Was that the heart of God? No, it was not. You say, how can you say it? That's in the Scripture. Because I know Jesus. And the Bible tells us when Jesus came along, He didn't do those things.
That's right.
See, the law came by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. John 1st chapter, go read it. That's what it says. So, are we against Moses? No, 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 we're not against Moses. We're not against anything that God said or used or covenants. But we are in this covenant, and Jesus comes along, and He's not Jeremiah, and He's not Ezekiel, and He's not Daniel, and He's not one of the prophets. He is God. This is not some prophet telling us about God. This is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, God incarnate, Emmanuel, God with us. the express image of his person, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen? And it says here, real quickly, because I'm already slowing down. But that's good. I want to lay a foundation. Y'all getting this? You know, see where we are, where we're coming from. And then you go chew on it. If you don't agree with it, well, you pray about it and talk to Jesus about it. Amen? Don't call me this week. But anyway. Notice what it says. Jesus speaking, John 5:39 and 40, real quickly, because I know we've gone over these verses. You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. These are they which testify of me. Now listen, there's nobody loves the Scripture more than I do and quotes the Scripture more than I do. I love the Word, and I study the Word every day, and I love it, and I quote it, and I stand on it. But I also believe in getting it in context. I believe in putting it at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus himself says, you search the Scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they that testify of me, 40th verse, but you are not willing to come to me that you might have life. See, Scripture should point to Jesus. It all points to Jesus. He is the consummation and the fulfillment. He is the Word made flesh. So if it doesn't pass the Jesus test, then you need to put it on shelf. Doesn't matter who said it, if it doesn't pass the Jesus test. You say, well, I put all Scripture on the same level. Well, God doesn't. Oh, no. Now you're looking at me like a calf looking at Newgate now. God does not put all Scripture on the same level. Turn to Luke 9. Boy, it's getting quiet in here. Goodness gracious. I believe in all the Scripture. But if I've got to make a choice between what some prophet said or even some person said in Jesus, is there really a choice there? There's no choice there. You've got to go with Jesus. You would say, what's going on there? Well, I don't understand everything, but I know Jesus is God. I also know we're under a different covenant. Are you with me? I also know that Jesus brought us a clearer picture of God, a more perfect picture, a more accurate picture. I believe that if everything was said about God that we needed to hear, then Jesus didn't even have to come. But the fact is, He did come. I believe in the 39 books of the Old Testament. I believe in the books of Moses. I believe in the books of history and the poetry and the major prophets and the minor prophets. Come on. I believe in the Pentateuch, the Torah, the law. I believe all that's God's Word. But see, it was not complete. It all pointed to someone else. The coming of another. And I believe that we got the full revelation, not part of the truth, not half the truth, not a piece of the truth, but the whole truth and nothing but the truth when Jesus came. Amen. Ooh, hallelujah. Amen. Love it. Luke the 9th chapter, perfect example here. We talked about this before. Jesus went up to the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John were there. And Jesus was transfigured before them. And Moses appeared on one side, Elijah on the other side. And the Bible says they discussed his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. Man, whoa, there's Jesus, there's the law, Moses, there's the prophets, Elijah, and they're all up there just, I mean, glistening. And Peter, he's kind of half asleep, and he wakes up. They were bad about falling asleep when Jesus was on the mountain. I don't know what the deal was. But he says, oh, Lord, this is great. We're going to build 3 tabernacles, one for you and one for Elijah and one for Moses. Woo! And it says he said this because he didn't know what to say. And Peter was always talking about and saying things when he didn't know what to say. Now, what we ought to learn from that is when you don't have anything to say, you don't know what to say, don't say anything. Right. But Peter just kept talking. You know, that's just the way he did. And it's amazing. A voice came from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son, hear Him. And then when the voice was finished, there was nobody there but Jesus. Wow. I'm telling you, if you ever have any concern or any misunderstanding or any contradiction or any confusion about Jesus and the law and the prophets, you better hear Jesus. In other words, we don't worship Moses and we don't worship Elijah and we don't hold up the law and hold up the prophets on the same level we hold up Jesus. Jesus is the Son of the living God. Are you with me? Thank God for Elijah and the prophets. Thank God for the Bible. I believe it's all God's Word from beginning to end. But to say that God holds it all on the same level, God doesn't even look at it all and say, everything Jesus said is above and trumps everything else. He is the fulfillment of everything else. How could you make a statement the law comes by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ? If you put them on the same level. How could you even make that statement? And the Bible makes that statement in John, the 1st chapter. Wow. Grace, and so we didn't get grace in the law? No, we did not get grace in the law. We did not. And kids, thank God we didn't. Thank God we don't have the law. Thank God we're under another covenant. Because if, you know, it says very plain there, if you curse your parents, we take you out back, we stone you. That's it. No grounded. We don't take cell phone away. No, sir. Under the law, you're stoned. You're dead. There's no forgiveness. There's no restoration in the law. Adultery, you know, adultery, you just died. They just killed you. There was no forgiveness for it. You could repent, it wouldn't matter if you repented. Still took you out and stoned you. Several things. You go, curse God, blaspheme God, stone you. You're dead. Hello. Wow, that's pretty strong, isn't it? Aren't you glad we're not under the law? Well, why are we trying to get back under it for? That's what gets me, you know. Jesus came and showed us what it's all about. Now, does God condone sin? Of course not. Is he for adultery? No, he is not. By no means is this a statement, that sin is not sin. No, this is a statement against legalism. This is a statement against condemnation is what this is. God's still against sin, but he loves the sinner. Are you with me? Okay, so look at Hebrews real quick. Hebrews 1. I've got somewhere I want to go. We're just kind of taking these one by one. Is it helping you?
Amen.
Helping Fred. Amen. I know it's food for thought. Hebrews 1. And sometimes you have to, you know, wrap your mind around some of these things because we have concepts in our head sometimes. You know, first of all, the Bible's Word of God, Genesis, Revelation. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But it's not. It doesn't all apply. It doesn't all apply. You would admit we're under a different covenant. Anybody would admit that. Come on. We're not under the old covenant. We're under the new covenant. Isn't that correct? So a lot of what you'd read under the laws, like in Leviticus, and some of the penalties for the law, they don't apply. Not only do they not apply, we can see how it makes no sense to be just killing everybody for everything that goes along, but we don't even see Jesus doing it. And this is interesting because Jesus came and he was still under the old covenant. Until he rose from the dead, there was no new covenant. And yet Jesus himself didn't even enforce some of the penalties of the old covenant. Jesus many times would contradict some of the legalism of the law. Y'all remember in Luke 9, I just quoted that, where Elijah and Moses were on each side of Jesus. Right after that, the disciples came to Jesus because he went to a place and they didn't receive him. And because his face was set toward Jerusalem. It says they didn't receive him. And the disciples said, Lord, shall we call fire down from heaven like Elijah did? See, that's the wrong spirit. We kind of get that spirit sometime in churches where we're not really wanting to get people saved. We want people to get what's coming to them. Hello. We're not about restoring anybody. We just want to blast them with the fire of God. Hey, they had scripture too. That's what gets me. That's in the Bible. Elijah did call fire down and consume 50 people. Did it more than once. And Jesus said, you know, I imagine Jesus, they've been following him all this time. They still ain't got it, you know. And he looks at him and he says, you don't know what spirit you're of. Everybody say spirit.
Spirit.
See, we're talking about the spirit of the law. The spirit of God and what God is about and his heart and his nature and his character is not condemnation. There is judgment coming. I believe there's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. But people don't go to hell because God sent them there. People go to hell because they reject God. They don't accept God. It ultimately is the only other option. God has a place for everybody. And if you don't want to go to his place where he is, then you're going to have to go to hell. Because everybody is in a certain place. You don't go off into limbo. And you choose the place you go to. If you want to go with Jesus, you can go to heaven. If you don't, you're going to have to go to hell because there is no other place. Are you with me? But God doesn't send people there. People go of their own volition, their own will. They go because they reject God and they reject Jesus. Hell's not a place where God is punishing people. Hell is a place where God is not. Where his presence isn't there. His blessing, his hand's not there. He doesn't live there. He lives in heaven. See, so really, it's not where God's doing something to you, where God's present, torching you. You know, it's It's where God is absent. That's where God is not. And so you have a choice to be with God or without God. And that's heaven or hell. If you choose God, you go to heaven. If you choose Jesus, you go to heaven. So that's not, he doesn't want people to go to hell. That's not his will. He wishes that none should perish. In fact, we often wonder, why is he waiting so long to come get us? The long-suffering of God. He's waiting for more people to come to Jesus before he comes. He's coming. He's going to come. Hey, that trumpet's going to sound. Could be today. I don't know. I'm ready. I'm looking up. Whew, Lord Jesus, you know, come quickly. Amen? But he's waiting because he wants more. Because of his heart, he wants more people to be saved. Because when that trumpet sounds, bad deal for a lot of people. And see, his heart doesn't, that's not his spirit. See, his spirit doesn't want to condemn. Jesus goes on to say, where he told them, those disciples in the Luke 9, where he said, you don't know what manner of spirit you are. He said, the Son of Man came into the world to save the world, not to condemn the world. That's good. I like that. We quote that often in John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God's not down here condemning sinners. He's convicting them, and we should bring conviction, are you with me, through our lifestyle and our preaching and our teaching. But we're not here to condemn, to write them off, to send them to hell. We're here to convict them that they might be saved. Woo! Are you out there? Where did I tell you to turn to? Hebrews? Yeah. Hebrews 1. First verse. God who at sundry times in many manners, various manners, divers manners, spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Well, is there a transition? Is that what your Bible says? So we do have God speaking in the Old Testament, but God in these last days is speaking to us through his Son. You search the scriptures for in them you think you have eternal life. But they are they that testify of me. You will not come to me that you might have life. Moses, Elijah, Jesus, hear him. This is my beloved Son. Hear him. Shall we call fire down like Elijah? Well, you don't know what spirit you're of. Are you with me? See, often in church we fall into that old law. I've even heard people say, well, I just got a John the Baptist ministry. Well, you're still under the old covenant. If you've got a John the Baptist ministry, we need to have a Jesus ministry here. Well, John the Baptist, Jesus said there wasn't anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yeah, let's read that whole verse. It says, there's none born among women, there's none greater than John the Baptist, but the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Why was that? Because once the kingdom starts, hallelujah, once Jesus rose from the dead, praise God, once grace has hit this earth and now we've been born again and we're new creatures in Christ Jesus, we got a whole new covenant, hallelujah, amen, built on better promises and what the law could not do, Jesus has done. The law could not forgive us. The law could not restore us. The law could not put us in right standing with God. And hallelujah, man, Jesus came and he forever made our redemption good. He's the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world. He redeemed us not with gold and silver, but with his precious blood. Hallelujah, he has washed us in his blood and made us kings and priests unto our God. I don't want to get back under that law anymore. I'm in this the grace of God now, and Jesus is my Lord. He's how I interpret the Bible, praise God. And we're supposed to help people come into the kingdom, not push them out of the kingdom. We don't condone their sin. Sin's sin. And I stand up and say sin is sin. You're not going to hear, you know, things like homosexuality is a sin. You're not going to hear that on the news. But it is. It is a sin. It is an abomination to God. But there is hope for any homosexual that would repent of their sin and come to Jesus. Are you with me? So there's a right way and wrong way to address that. Adultery is wrong. But you know, God forgives the adulterer when they repent. You know, we're not going to have a service any day, any time, ever going to happen. We're going to bring in sinners and kill them out here in the parking lot. We used to have a gravel parking lot, but thank God we got it paved over now. Just so we won't be doing anything like that. Are you with me? Hey, living together, sin. Not going to hear that on the news. If you're living together, listen to me. God does not hate you, and I do not hate you, and we do not hate you. But if you're living together and you are not married, you need to get married. Amen. Because you're living in sin. Now, you can repent, and I'll marry you. In fact, you'll get a license. I'll marry you this week. if you're out here. I don't know. I mean, people come and go because it's just not right. It's not right to live that way. Marriage is something that God ordained. It's a holy thing. Now, do we hate people who live? Oh, of course not. Come on now, you miss no point. Jesus brings people to conviction, and the church should do the same thing. This is a safe haven. This is not a place where you come and we're going to beat you on the head. We're going to convict you of your sin. The Holy Spirit's going to do that. But we're going to stand here and stand up for holiness and righteousness, are you with me, and tell you the truth, because you've been lied to. I'm telling you, you've been lied to out here in the world. You've heard these things are okay. They're not okay. I love you too much to tell you they're okay. I love you too much to hate you. I love you too much to condemn you. I love you too much to treat you like dirt. But I love you too much to lie to you. And I want you to know God loves you, and He's not against you. Don't you beat yourself over the head. Just repent. Just repent. Come to Jesus. We'll help you. We'll help you get right. I've married lots of people like that. Come up to me and say, Pastor, we're living in sin. We got a license. Would you marry? Yes, I'll marry you today, tomorrow, this week. Let's get it done. Yeah. Are you out there? Sure, it's getting quiet in here. Are y'all living together? Is somebody? No. Well, could be. Anyway, Jesus, when you look at Jesus, that's what you see. You see a man, God-man, who stood up for what is right and holy and just, but he did not condemn. He convicted. He didn't let people off the hook. He didn't say it's okay to sin. Are you out there? Woo! Turn to John 8. This is where I want to get to. I just love when y'all get quiet. I know you're thinking. Either thinking or I've struck a chord or something. I don't. You know I love you. I tell you, see, you know, if you love people, you will compel them to do right. In love, you will. You'll stand up. You'll tell them what's right. You will. And if you are more concerned about what they think about you than you are concerned about their soul, then you'll say what they like to hear, and you'll just say what's convenient. Because listen, let me tell you something. It's a whole lot easier for me to stand up here and not say anything like that. It really is. It'd be a whole lot easier for me to stand up here and just teach on everything that's not controversial, to not mention anything about sin at all. And you know what? We probably could get a lot more people in here too. But what will we have? I mean, you think about it. What will we have? We could fill the building. There's lots of things. We have a beer party and probably fill the building. That's not going to happen. Okay. That is not going to happen. It's not about numbers. You see, it's about. Representing Jesus Christ is what it is. And we have an obligation. I'm an ambassador of Christ, so are you. And so I have to tell you what Jesus says. I don't have a choice. You know, one time everybody left Jesus. I think that's interesting. You know, Jesus, he was never affected by anybody, what they thought or didn't think. He was a God pleaser, not a man pleaser. But often he'd say things, I'd think, well, that was pretty hard. Why did he say that? You know, one time they all left him. And the disciple says, well, we're still with you, Lord. We hadn't forsaken. He says, yeah, one of you's got a devil. You'd think he'd say something like, I appreciate y'all sticking with me. And you know, and he says, well, yeah, you're here, but one of you's got a devil. That's what he said. I'm thinking, what? But he didn't care what man thought. He cared about man. But he didn't care what they thought. Amen. Are you with me? He loved men. He loved mankind. Yes. Gave his life for mankind. Forgave sinners. He was accused of being too easy on sinners and hard on religion. He was hard on religion. He was against legalism, and I am too, and you should be too. I think it's pathetic that the world knows what the church is against, but they don't even know what the church is for. They don't know we're for people. They don't know we love people. They don't know we'll take anybody in. I don't care where you've been or what you've done. Come on. We'll take you. If you'll come to Jesus, we'll help you. We'll stand with you. We'll believe with you. We'll pray with you. We'll rejoice when you repent. But the world often just knows what the church is against. Oh, that's that church. Now they're against this, they're against this, they're against. But they don't even know what we're for. And sometimes that's our fault. Are you with me? John 8, classic passage of Scripture here. You're going to love it. Many of you know what it is. John 8, verse 1 says, But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and he taught them. I love that. You know, I like to get over here and sit down every once in a while and teach because I know some people think it's not proper and, you know, dignified. But Jesus did it. Sat in a boat one time. Amen? Anyway, it says he sat down and he taught them. It says, then the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious people, the legalists, brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, you know, this is just an amazing story to me. They, you know, and I know I've gone over this, we've talked about this before, but you know, if you go into, and they bring out the Old Testament, and I'll get into that in just a minute, they bring out the law, you know, where it says stone her. But it, the law says stone both of them. I mean, I'm not trying to be real crude or anything, and I'm not. Of all preachers you come across, I am not crude. But I do know that it takes more than one person to commit adultery. Yeah. Are you out there? Yeah. Where is the man? What happened to the man? They brought the woman. Where's the man? Did you know religion's always hard on a woman? Always hard on a woman. Woman's got to wear, I mean, got to have the veils over her face, no makeup. You take a real religious church or religious sect, the woman is just, I mean, covered up, long sleeves, no makeup, a whole, and the guy's just decked out. Always gets me. It's always hard on a woman. And here's this woman, they could care less about this woman. She was a point of discussion to them. She was a doctrine to be taught, not a person to be saved. And they threw her down there in front of Jesus. And it says, caught her. How did they catch her? What were they sneaking around? What is there some police force they have going on around here? Some detective agency that the church has checking on everybody, you know? I hope you know I don't check. I'm not going around checking on you. I trust you're doing the right thing. If I hear something, yeah, we're going to address it. But I'm not, I don't have any detective agencies. We don't have satellite. Don't have cameras all over the place. But they found this. They caught her. They were looking for this. They were looking for this. And they got this woman, this poor woman. I'm not condoning what she did. She was in sin and it's wrong. And Jesus didn't condone what she did either. But this is not the way to handle this. Threw her down, just brought her right in front of Jesus and said in the fifth verse, now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. What do you say? Hey, they had a scripture. It's in the Bible. It's right there in the Bible. It's in Leviticus. It talks about stoning those caught in adultery. It didn't say they could atone for their sin. It didn't tell them what offering to bring. See, it's interesting. You go through Leviticus, and it tells you different offerings to bring for different sins and so on and so forth. But adultery, there's no offering. There's no forgiveness. You just stone them. Wow. That's pretty hard. Thank God for this covenant we're under. Not so we can sin, no, so we can be forgiven and restored.
That's right.
This is not about being easy on sin. This is not about saying sin's okay. This is not a statement on doesn't matter what you do. This is a statement about God's forgiveness and His restoration. That's what it is. Jesus came to not condemn but to save, to rescue us from our sins. Amen? He didn't like our sin. Our sin's bad. It's wrong. It destroys lives and families and ruins families and nations. Sin's a reproach to any people. Are you with me? But praise God, in Jesus there's forgiveness and there's restoration. I don't know what you've done, but quit beating yourself over the head. We're not under the law. We're under grace. Now repent of your sin and come to Jesus and let's get back up on our feet again. Amen? Yeah, but God says this, God says this. I'll tell you what God says. God says one thing. His name is Jesus. One word, Jesus. That's what God is saying. Jesus. That's what the Bible is about. Jesus. The Scripture points to Jesus, and Jesus is the Son of God. Hear Him. You know, 2 Corinthians 3 tells us, the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Woo! Are you out there? Mm-hmm. You know, I wonder about Jesus. You know, it says here that sixth verse, they said this, testing Him, that they might have something of which to accuse Him. But Jesus just stooped down and wrote on the ground with His finger as though He did not hear. You know, I'm sure Jesus was meditating, thinking about this. The law does say stone her. You know, that is, they're quoting Scripture to him. That's not what God wants. God wants this woman's heart. He wants this woman to repent. He wants this woman to serve him. You know, and they got a Scripture that says stone her, but that's not the heart of God. That's not what God wants. I wonder if he was thinking about his stepfather, I guess, Joseph, who raised him, who found out his wife was pregnant. In Matthew, the first chapter. And it says Joseph being a just man. Whew. Joseph being a just man, not willing to make a public example of her, was going to take her away secretly and privately. And an angel appeared to him and said, "Don't fear to take your wife, Mary. That thing is of the Holy Ghost that's on her." See, he didn't know that. All he knew is she was expecting with child. He didn't know the Holy Ghost overshadowed her. She might have shared it with him, but I'm sure he's thinking, that's never happened, you know. And yet, he wouldn't take her out and stone her. Because he was a just man. What? The Scripture says stone her. But see, that wasn't the heart of God. That was not the heart of God. You say, well, that's in the Bible. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. You can make your choice what you believe. Are you with me? I can show you what Jesus did. I can show you what Joseph did. God's a forgiving God, isn't He? Amen. When you repent, He forgives you. Quit beating yourself over the head. It's wrong. You did wrong. I've done wrong. Anybody ever done wrong? Come on. I got no stones to throw. We've all sinned. But we got to get back on our feet, and we got to get forgiven and go on. So it says here, Jesus stooped down. And I wonder sometimes too, here's this woman, you know, she's thrown down on this ground. Everybody's standing over her, looking at her, you know. And here she is. Her life is in the balance here. I mean, you know, they would stone somebody. They stoned Stephen in Acts 7 chapter. They actually stoned him for blaspheming God. Okay, that's what the law says. And so they stoned him because he said Jesus was the Son of God. They thought that was blasphemy. So here's this woman trembling in fear. Jesus standing here, and they throw her down in front of them. Jesus bends down there. Where he could look at her. Can you see the heart of God in this? He's not standing over looking down at her. He gets down in front of her and just kneels down. I don't know what he wrote in the ground. Who knows what he wrote in the ground? Some people say he wrote the sins of those Pharisees. No telling what he wrote. But he wrote and he was thinking. And you know, he's eye to eye with her. And he says, well, let him without sin cast the first stone. And are you perfect? You want to stone her? Well, we just take you all out and stone you one by one. Let's just kill everybody. We've all sinned. Line you up. Shoot every one of you. Who hadn't sinned? Anybody haven't sinned? I've sinned. How about you? I don't like sin. I hate sin. It's wrong. People need to repent of it. But is that what we're about? Going killing everybody that sins and kicking everybody out of the church that sins? And hello? We're about restoring people that sinned. Now, obviously, if a person won't repent, yeah, they can't stay. Are you with me? But if they repent, we'll forgive them. And it's interesting, it says, from the eldest to the youngest, they walked out. I always love that because really, it just shows you, you know, you're a little more pride when you're young, you know. A little harder to admit you're wrong when you're young. The older people knew, well, that pretty well sums up that argument. Walked out. And from the eldest to the youngest, they all walked out. I had a scripture. It was a hard scripture. Mean scripture. Are you with me? It wasn't the heart of God. It wasn't what God really wanted. You say, how do you know that? That's what Jesus did here. Look at Jesus. Let's don't forget, this is God in the flesh in front of this woman. And God Almighty, the only one who had no sin. The only one who had a right to kill her. The only one who was sinless did not cast the stone. Amen. The only one who she really sinned against forgave her. So he stooped down, he wrote in the ground. with his finger as though he did not hear. And the seventh verse says, so when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone first, at her first. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their consciences, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Actually, she was, by this point, she's standing there. And he's looking at her. And when Jesus had raised himself up, he saw no man but the woman, and said to her, listen, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no man condemned you? And she said, no one, Lord. And she was telling the truth, because he was still there and he wasn't condemning her. No one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. See, this is not a statement about sin being okay. This is a statement against legalism is what it is. Because God, Jesus didn't think the sin was okay. But he wanted to save that woman and restore that woman. And we, the church, are about that. That's what we're about, is taking sinners and bringing them to Jesus and restoring them and getting them back up on their feet again. We stand up very loud against sin. But we stand up very loud for the sinner that repents, the sinner that wants to come to the Lord. Amen? So there again, you got to watch what scripture you're using, the context you're using it in. God didn't give you scripture to go chalk people off, you know, to win battles against people. God gave you scripture to win battles against the devil. Hello. And against sin, but not against people. I used to get in arguments with people, you know, and I'd start quoting scripture left and right, and I'd walk away, another one bites the dust. You know, I won the argument, you know. But I lost the soul. I lost the person. And you don't take scripture and antagonize. You know, you can't antagonize and influence at the same time. Go chew on that one a while. You got to love people. If they don't have what you care, they don't care how much you know. And Jesus loved this woman. And you know what? She repented of her sin. Amen. And she was restored. Hallelujah. I don't know what you've done. I don't know where you've been. I don't know what you're beating yourself over the head about. But if you repented of it, God doesn't condemn you. In fact, if anything happens in church, you get convicted of your sin. Oh, I should not have done that. Oh, that's wrong. God, I have sinned. And you come to Jesus and you repent of it, and God restores you, and you go on about your life serving God. That's what it's all about, because that's what Jesus is all about. This is more than a doctrine or a teaching. This is about a person. Amen. His name is Jesus. And he showed us God. He is God. And I don't know why, but he really does love us. He's crazy about us. Amen. If you had a wallet, your picture would be in it. If you had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it.